Come with me to 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians, that's where we're going to make a little visit. And I want to go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, you might consider reading 1 Corinthians and the beginning of this at some later space during the week, but I was pressed before we go to verse 6. In chapter 1, he says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, and I will frustrate." And I'll just kind of leave that on a sideline. You know, sometimes we think we're so wise and we think we're so intelligent. And the Lord is frustrates it. Get a clue here. And it kind of ties in with the wisdom from the Spirit, which is the heading in the NIV, just before verse 6. It says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." Now, St. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that they're having a hard time to grow up. And he's saying, you know, the Corinthian church was a very carnal church. And they had a lot of garbage going around in the church. And if you study that, that's probably why St. Paul is professing that there are mature Christians or more mature than they were. He's not comparing them with, you know, people who don't have any knowledge. But he's really saying, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age." Meaning the wisdom of the carnal mind. Or of the rulers of this age. Now I've got that underlined in my Bible because the rulers of this age are not the carnal rulers that you and I know. The rulers of this age are in the heavenly realms. And earlier tonight, the kids and I had a little discussion about where is heaven. And then we went into where God is. And where is God? A lot of people have a religious idea that heaven is way out there somewhere. And God is way out there somewhere. And yet, we said, the fullness of God is in Christ Jesus. And he sent the Holy Spirit down to the earth. And now we have the Holy Spirit in me. So where's heaven? It's here. It's all around us. And if we could zip up the little veil and take a peek inside, which I've seen a few times, it's an awesome thing to realize that we're surrounded. There are spies out there. So, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Now that's an incredible forecast, isn't it? The enemy is coming to nothing. St. Paul isn't worried about them. He's not concerned. He's just letting them know the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. Isn't that awesome? How would you and I like somebody forecasting that about me and you? Pretty tough, huh? Verse 7. "No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So now we've got 4,000 years of history. St. Paul is saying, look it, glory's starting to come now. Isn't that awesome? And we're still looking for it. I'm letting you know, it's here. It's just we've got to believe for it. And we've got to be open to receive it. Did healing take place on Calvary? Did the sins get removed on Calvary? How come we've got people crying, I'm a poor sinner, I'm a poor sinner? And I talked to somebody this morning and I said, please wear your saint suit. Because after all, this is supposed to be a costume party. Yes? So look at your neighbor, say, I love your saint suit. Yeah. You see, the world out there is representing what? The rulers of this age. They're advertising the rulers of this age. On Good Morning America this morning, while I'm talking to somebody on the phone, the TV flips on, and you know how they go from commercials, obviously, and there is this gentleman who's advertising a plate setting for your guest for tonight. And guess what it was? The theme was black and white. All the dishes had skull and crossbones. Awesome, awesome. And the paper napkins were this and all. Everything was black and white. And I said, oh my God, Lord, what's next? The dinner, the goblets had a ghost. You know, I mean, that's pretty neat, right? And I said, Lord, who do you think they're inviting for dinner? Who do you think's going to show up? Well, the rulers of this age. Think about it. Who is advertising their wares on national television? The rulers of? And the servants of the rulers. Ah. And we giggle and we laugh because their costumes are pretty. Their future is nothing. Zero. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, I want to repeat verse 7. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before that time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Now that tells you that those who are teaching you and me from the TV don't have much, do they? They've got the wisdom of the rulers of this age that are coming to nothing. And those rulers understood it, for it, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If. See, you've got the proof in the pudding. You'd have an understanding that if they had understood who Jesus really was, they wouldn't have cooked their own future. They put themselves in the pressure cooker and blew the top off. They really did. So that tells you where the rulers of this age have got their knowledge from. Limited wisdom. Amen? All right. However, as it is written, now I hear this scripture constantly in many, many teachers. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And they put a period there. They don't put the verse 10 in, and verse 10 starts with a but. This time it's a Holy Ghost but. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now, if the revelation of the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel, who is to establish his kingdom first inside of you and me, and he started by releasing his Spirit in us, that means we've got a future with a great big plus and not a zero. Now, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Which Spirit? The Holy Spirit impregnating my spirit. Because I get nosy on purpose, don't I? God, I don't understand this. I want to know. I'm nosy. Holy Spirit, educate me. I don't like the carnal knowledge that I'm involved in right now. I want to have the Holy Ghost knowledge. I know what the preachers, teachers, blah, blah, blah says. And I know what the world says. But I want to know what you say. Holy Spirit, what have you got going on here? Amen? For who among men, verse 11, knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? So he's talking about the spirit of man. If the spirit of man is born again, he's going to be searching under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel. He's not going to be searching with the carnal mind out of a book. Even though a book may be handy, it better be the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible will give you what? Holy Ghost understanding. And you may not understand it all at the beginning. In fact, if we look at Peter, Peter had a hard time with Paul. Complicated. So is it logical for one person in the Spirit having another hard time with another person in the Spirit? Because your development is different than hers, hers is different than yours, blah, blah, blah. Yes? But we trust the Holy One to make it clear. Philippians 3:15. If you have an argument about the Lord, go to Philippians 3:15, because it says God will make it clear. And it's a lot better than if you try to defend yourself. Because the more you try to defend yourself, you're going to go showing how much of the defense is not from the Holy Ghost. Because the more you try to defend, you're really submitting to a demon spirit of pride. And I've been there. And I've tried to defend. And I failed miserably. And I committed sin. Yeah, I did. I didn't think at the time that it was a sin, because it felt good. Felt. Underlined three times. Felt good. Was it God? No, it wasn't God. But many, many times we respond trying to tell somebody to straighten up and get a clue, but they don't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit within them. It's not there. If they don't have it, you should be a helper and an intercessor until they catch it. Amen? My little buddy a couple weeks ago came in and he was having a problem. And I said to him, you're facing the wrong one. Go to the altar. Begin to cry out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. I didn't hear from him afterwards because I know he gave it to Jesus and Jesus took care of it. Amen? Why? Because if we rely on natural responses, which he was doing, and I've done. How many have ever done it? Come on. Man, I'm right and I know it. I'll show you the word. Yeah, which spirit is driving you? Yeah. Thank you. So the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Verse 11. For whom among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has got a plan for this earth. And it is an establishing of the kingdom. He wants the kingdom to be established. And it will be, whether the rulers of this world like it or not. It will be. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Did you hear that? I like this is. Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, this morning, I'm having a conversation with a friend of mine. And I heard the Lord say, ask for a telephone number. But we ended up talking about other things. And I heard it a little bit again, ask for the phone number. But I got involved in trying to respond to the question. And the next thing you know, we said goodbye. Well, I went back to what I was doing, and the Holy Ghost said, Kim, call the person back, confess your sin, and ask for the telephone number. So I took some humble pie, chucked it down quickly, picked up the phone, and called. The person says, I don't have it available just yet, I'll call you back. So they went hunting for the number, got back on the phone, and then we ended up in prayer, which was God's plan to begin with. So he'll use your goof to bring revelation. So as I'm praying, the Holy Ghost begins to give me, you know, all kinds of tongues, and all of a sudden the interpretation comes. Now, I had no clue this person had a need of prayer. After all, they're Holy Ghost full. Yeah. Full of the Holy Ghost. They got probably more than me. But the bottom line is, God wanted to use me. And he had purposed to try to tell me, get a phone number. But you know what? I goofed. Welcome to the club if you goof once in a while. It's okay. But the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit had a plan. Now, if you said to me, Kim, what was the word that you gave the person? You know what I would say to you? I have no recollection. Because it wasn't me speaking. It was my mouth. It was my tongue. It was my voice. But it was not me speaking. I have zero information as to what I said, what it pertains to, single, nothing, zero. You could beat me up and I couldn't give you a word that I said because I have no recollection. But the person said, I needed that. Now, the person receiving has probably a great deal of recollection of what it was because they needed the word. I didn't need it. If you're dying of thirst and you're in a desert and somebody gives you a glass of water, wow, you're going to remember who that is, right? Maybe not. All you're going to remember is chucking it down, man. It's good stuff. Living water is the Lord. And you may not remember who dropped off the glass, but you will remember the contents. Wow, was that ever good? Oh, that solved my problem. Catching on to what I'm trying to give you today? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. He's building a kingdom. He's building a kingdom on pieces of puzzles coming out of each individual that he chooses. Not the way you and I would choose. Let's go back to verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There are times that you will know that you will know that you will know that you're doing something that is intended of God for God's glory, and your whole emotional makeup is saying, you're nuts. This ain't going to work. This is not the right direction. You're going there wrong. Wrong. Don't go there again. It's wrong. And all the time, you've got that press inside to keep on going. And you know that you know that you know that everybody around you is saying, are you crazy? Don't you know you're going to get hurt if you do it? Well, if I get hurt, I get hurt. But if I disobey God, I'm positive I'm going to get hurt. Now, let's say that you didn't really hear from God. Do you know that the Heavenly Father knows, and the Spirit of God inside of you knows that you are doing to the best of your ability, believing that it's Him, and He'll turn it into good in spite of you? Now, that sounds weird, but it's the truth. I remember one person telling me that it was a female, telling me that they wanted to overrule the husband in a quality decision. And I said, you're out of order. You're out of order. Well, my husband doesn't know God. Really? Well, he doesn't know Him like I do. Oh, really? You mean God can't talk to him? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. He doesn't read his Bible, blah, 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 blah. But the scripture says that He talks to the man. Ephesians 5. So while you're running against your husband, you are against God. Oh, it can't be, Kim. No way. I said, well, study the word and we'll talk about it. And when you're ready to pray, we'll pray. A few days go by, phone rings again. Well, I read it, but I don't believe it. I said, tear the page out of the Bible. The God of heaven says He's going to talk to the husband and you are to release it. Because you're going to be fighting the man that God gave you. I don't want to. I said, well, you're going to pay a price. You have a choice. Scripture says that in very, very clear language, He's going to speak to the man. Then He'll speak to the woman. She is to be the confirming voice. Now, if she goes against Him, I said to her, even if he makes a terrible mistake, God will protect you. In spite of your husband's lack of knowledge. Because God will honor His word. He'll honor it the way that it's written, not the way you feel about it, or the way you feel about the husband. It goes the same way with your boss. It goes the same way with your president. I had a difficult discussion yesterday morning. I'm talking with an expert. Did you ever have a discussion with an expert? I had an expert discussing with me. And he's an expert, I don't know which field, but he's coming out of Bay State Medical Center with all kinds of degrees, probably more than most thermometers. But you know what? He didn't understand the Lord. Yet he's advertising as a Christian. And I said, wonderful. He said, well, is there a Bible for dummies? I said, yeah, every one of us starts there. It's not a problem. But he says, I'm mad at the president. And I've got a young man that's in the service. And when I first saw that he was doing something in Iraq, and blah, 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 and he says, now I don't believe in him anymore. I said, why would he jump ship? Why would he give up? And then I had a word that came into my heart. I said, you know what? You just got done telling me you're very good at computers. Why don't you look back at the headlines in 1946, 47, and 48 and see what everybody was saying about our money being spent on Germany and the Japanese and all of the money we wasted in France and the Netherlands and blah, 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 and we'd never survive and they'd never be nice to us and the Germans were bad from beginning to the end. And I says, get a clue. There's a strategy by the enemy to make us book out ahead of schedule. And I said, I'm not saying the president's perfect. I'm just saying God's going to talk to him. God knows how to talk to presidents. Even if they're not perfect, God knows how. So leave them alone. Pray for them. That's your commission. And if you've got an adult person that is in charge of your life, pray for that person. Intercede for them so that they will be hearing from God and they'll get the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, and then you will reap the benefits. And if they fail, God will still protect you. That's the lineup. The wisdom of the world is coming too, but the wisdom of the Holy Ghost is building a kingdom. And it's a Holy Ghost kingdom. And you and I are a part of it as the body of Christ. Take the hand of your neighbor. Father, you've united us tonight in a very special way. And I'm asking for your grace and the harmony and the unity that you are building in the body of Christ, that we will use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit every step of the way as we learn from you, Lord, that we are being built up into a mighty, mighty kingdom for our God. And Jesus, I ask you now, if we've failed in any way, forgive us. If we've judged or condemned our leaders and our people in authority, forgive us, Lord. Give us wisdom to hear from your word and to confirm your word by obeying to the best of our ability. And we know that you'll turn it into good because that's your promise. Romans 8 says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose for me and for you. Amen?
Amen.
And amen.